Thank you for taking the time to listen to this audio sermon from Apostolic Worship Center. Our prayer is that you'll be encouraged and blessed by the anointed word of God. If you'd like more information about Apostolic Worship Center and its ministries, visit our website at www.awcnorman.com.
Paul writes to his protege, Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. He says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, somebody say first of all, I exhort that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. And here is the reason that those prayers need to be prayed, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Preach today by the help of the Lord from this subject. First of all, prayer. First of all, prayer. Would you ask the Lord to help us today? Jesus, I'm asking you, Lord, for your sweet touch. God, your presence. You've already done a tremendous work here. God, the anointing of the Holy Ghost and your presence that has ministered across this sanctuary. And I'm needing you in the next little while in the delivery and the breaking of the bread of life. Asking you, Lord, that we would receive your word now by faith into our heart, and it would become an engrafted word. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Would you lift your hand and your voice to the Lord, and would you give him a great sound of praise and worship all over the building? I thank you today, Lord. I give you praise for it. Give you worship. Come on, somebody, magnify the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor before you're seated. Tell him, first of all, prayer. First of all, prayer. And you may be seated. God bless you. In the book of 1 Timothy as well as 2 Timothy, Paul is indeed addressing his protege that he has left in Ephesus. And Timothy was encountering in his new endeavor as the overseer of the church of Ephesus. He was dealing with some internal as well as external conflict. Paul's heart goes out to Timothy because Timothy is feeling these emotions and all of these experiences, and Paul relates well to the feelings that Timothy is feeling, for he himself has confessed that his flesh had no rest. And he said, we are troubled on every side. And he admitted that without were fightings, within were fears. So when Timothy comes to him with this internal and external conflict, Paul relates well to the emotional struggle and battle that Timothy is having. Understand that internally Timothy was dealing with the false preachers or false apostles that were trying to make their way into the church of Ephesus and spread false doctrine. So he was dealing with an internal struggle there that was trying to turn the Ephesian church doctrinally. But there was also an external battle, and it is found in that second verse when he talks about kings and those that were in authority. This was a government system that was opposed to the advance of Christianity, the time of the Roman Empire and its persecution of Christians. And so there's all of these struggles, the internal of the church. There is the external of the church that Timothy is dealing with, and it seemed to threaten what Paul identifies in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 2 as a quiet and peaceable life. In other words, Timothy, these pressures you're dealing with, the internal conflict, the external pressure you are experiences is threatening the quiet and peaceable life you would like to live. Now, understand today that this is the ultimate end of all of our lives. We want to lead a quiet and peaceable life. Can I just get a witness today? Would anybody like to lead that kind of life? A life that is quiet and peaceable. Now you can put about anything you want to put under that heading of a peaceable and a quiet life. You can put life without conflict, life without turmoil, life where I feel no pressure, life where I feel no difficulties, there's no aversion or opposition to me. I want to lead a quiet and a peaceable life. It is a life that is without noise or uproar that disturbs us. We might say this life looks like the life that the psalmist so beautifully paints in the 23rd Psalm when he identifies to us in that psalm that the Lord prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. In other words, that Psalmist David makes it very clear here that it's possible with the noise that might be around us, the uproar that might be in the distance, that it's possible to lead a quiet and peaceable life while we sit in the presence of our enemies. Would anybody like that quiet and peaceable life in the presence of your enemies? It's not only what David spoke of in the 23rd Psalm, but it was what Paul spoke of when he writes in the 20th chapter of the book of Acts. He says that bonds and afflictions abide me. But then he added that none of these things move me, so that I might finish my course with joy. To lead a quiet and a peaceable life is to live in a world where there's afflictions and bonds, but they do not move me. In other words, I am experiencing all of these things, but it doesn't affect me. It doesn't throw me off course. I'm living a quiet and a peaceable life. Even Jesus himself modeled this life and the possibility of this life when Scripture tells us that he had been led to the brow of the hill in Nazareth and he had angered a group of people and they sought to push him over the edge of the hill and do away with him, and people were trying to push him over the edge. But now let's just be honest that we don't always model Psalms 23. We don't always follow the mentorship of Paul in Acts chapter 20, nor do we always rise to the occasion of Christ in Nazareth dealing with being pushed over the edge. There are times that we find ourselves lamenting far too often and find ourselves where a quiet and a peaceable life does not exist. We can say well with the psalmist in Psalms chapter 22 and verse number 14, I am poured out like water. Does anybody ever feel like you're poured out like water? And all my bones are out of joint. Does anybody feel that way? My heart is like wax. It's melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me unto the dust of death. Now that's just a fact of life, that end result of a quiet and a peaceable life, we don't always attain to it. There are times that we find ourselves distracted by the noise. While we're sitting in the presence of our enemies, we find ourselves moved by the afflictions, and we find ourselves ultimately pushed over the edge and we sacrifice that quiet and peaceable life. And so the question that we must ask today and that we must answer, and by the help of God, I want to give us an answer to it today. That is, if this is the end result, if I am to lead a quiet and a peaceable life, if that's what God wants for me, this is the question that you and I must ponder. Where do I begin? Does anybody have that question on your mind today? If I'm to lead a quiet and a peaceable life in the midst of affliction in the presence of mine enemies and trying being pushed over the edge, then where do I begin in obtaining this kind of life? Now, we might look at it a little humanly this today or from our fleshly standpoint, and we might say, well, if I just had a different environment, if there was just a different surrounding, maybe if I change locations, maybe that would provide for me a quiet and a peaceable life. Or someone might say, you know, if I just had more resources, if I just had a little more financial freedom, a little more flow of funds, then I might be able to lead a quiet and a peaceable life. And others might say, you know, if I could just have a sabbatical, if I could just get away. Kind of like David prayed in the book of Psalms, chapter 55, when he said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away. I'd just escape the mess and the nonsense, and I'd get out of all of it, and I'd have a quiet and a peaceable life." Now, may I say to you today that all of those things may have some merit and may have some application, but at the end of the day, my environment really has no effect upon my quiet and peaceable life. My supply of resources, whether I am take a sabbatical or not, has no real bearing on my quiet and peaceable life. So where do I begin? Where do I start in having this kind of tranquility? Well, may I direct you today to the beginning of your Bible. If you would go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1, I believe that is probably one of the most important verses in our Bible. I believe that it is probably one of the most important verses that we build faith upon. For it's telling us not just how creation began. It's telling us not just how things came out of nothing. That first verse tells us not just that there was this darkness and then suddenly God moves in. Rather, read those first four words with me. In the beginning, God. I really believe what God is telling us here in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1, that the place where you start with God. The place where you began with God. That's where you begin turning life around and beginning to bring a quiet and a peaceable life. You can't lead a quiet and a peaceable life if you bypass God. You can't lead a quiet and a peaceable life if you don't include God. You can't lead a quiet and a peaceable life if you somehow or another shelve God and put Him away. You can't lead that kind of life. But if you ever can find yourself embracing God, wrapping your arms around God, including God, bringing God into the picture, it begins with God. And if you find God, you find the beginning of a quiet and a peaceable life. In the beginning, God is not just the acknowledgement of a creator. It's not just the acknowledgement of one who made everything. It's the acknowledgement of one that everything flows from. and that He is my source and He's my help. And in the beginning of trouble, I got to remember God. In the beginning of my heartache, I've got to remember God. In the beginning of my difficulties, it's God. In the beginning of my sickness, it's God. In the beginning of my financial crisis, it is God. Why are we so prone to make God our last resort instead of our first option? Why is it we're so prone to find ourselves trying to handle life's difficulties before we ever include God in the picture? I'd like to somehow or another help somebody today to realize before it ever begins, bring God into the middle of all of it, because God is my helper. Yes, He is. We oftentimes are like the children of Israel in the Old Testament that made an attempt to take the promised land and do it all without the help of God. Numbers chapter 14, verse number 44 said, they presumed. Now, isn't that where much of our problems begin at? We make a lot of presumptions. They presume to go up to the hilltop. They said, we'll take the land. We'll go in and we'll conquer the giants. But they were doing it on their own. Nevertheless, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. We make the same mistake. We presume to conquer things. We presume to handle issues and do it all without the aid of Almighty God. I need God to help me in everything that I do. I can't do it on my own. Somebody turn to your neighbor and tell him, I can't do it on my own. I got to get God in the beginning. I got to get God at the start of this. I got to get God at the very outset of the problems and the issues of life that I find myself in. How often we also make the mistake that Israel made later when they were faced with an imposing enemy that was coming against them, and they looked to the arm of flesh. Isaiah chapter 31, verse number 1 says, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, that stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen because they are strong. But they look not to the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. How often do we make that mistake in our own lives, that we're always turning to the things of the world for help because it looks like it can bring a solution, that it looks like it can bring some kind of intervention, when we ought to be looking to God for our help? I'll tell you, the best thing to do with your hands in the time of trouble is to lift them. Come on now. The best thing to do with your hands in the time of trouble is lift them, because as long as I got them down, I think my hands have got to work it out. I think my hands have got to take care of it. But when I put my hands in the air, I'm acknowledging that only God is my helper and only God is my strength. So I say with David, some can trust in chariots and some can trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Come on, where does it begin? Where does a quiet and peaceable life begin? I'll tell you where it begins. It begins with God. I need His help. That's why the wise man tells where life is to begin in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 1, when he says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Where do I start? I start right now. God is at the beginning of this. God's going to help me. God is going to come to my aid. I'm not going to wait until everything falls apart. I'm not going to wait until life comes caving in. I'm not going to wait until life falls apart at the seams before I include God. I'm going to include Him at the very beginning, because God is my helper. Somebody declare that with me today. God is my helper. So if it begins with God, here's the next question you and I must ponder today. If it begins with God, if it starts with making Him the beginning of all of life, if I'm going to lead this quiet and peaceable life, if it begins with God, here's the question now. How do I access God? How does God and me get together? I know God has all power, but how do I access Him? I know God has all ability, but how do I connect with God? I know that God has the provisions and the supply, but how do I bring Him in to the picture? So Paul writes to Timothy in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, who is experiencing both internal and external conflict. And he writes to him now of how to handle it. And he says in chapter 2 and verse number 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, prayers be made. He said, Timothy, I know you're dealing with a lot of stuff right now. I know there's a lot of stuff going on internally. And I know you're dealing with a lot of stuff externally. But can I tell you where you need to begin at? You need to begin on your knees in prayer before God. Because prayer is your answer. I'd like to get that across to us. I'd like to preach that today. I'd like to somehow or another get us to wake up to that. Prayer is not my second resort. Prayer is my first resort. Second, prayer is not something that I go to after I've tried everything else. Prayer is something I go to at the very beginning. When I first feel it, when the struggles are first there, I find myself in prayer before God. In fact, Paul said it this way, I exhort. That means I urge, I earnestly beg, I plead with you, Timothy. Don't ignore my pleading. Don't ignore my exhortation to you. I urge you, if you're going to deal with the external and the internal, first of all, you got to get on your knees in prayer and talk to the Lord. Can I tell you today that prayer is still the answer in the 21st century? It's always been the answer, and it remains the answer. It's every mama's answer. It's every daddy's answer. It's every young man and every young lady's answer. It's every grandparent's answer. First of all, pray. You see, prayer is a vital link between where I am and where God is. Prayer is like a power line that connects us together. Prayer is like a wire that you're hardwired into Him. When you get a hold of prayer, I can't access Him any other way. I can't enter into His presence by any other method. The only way that I can get there is I've got to get there by the atmosphere and the practice of prayer. And it must be at the beginning of everything done in my life. Do you understand what prayer does? Prayer takes us out of the conflict and transports us into the very throne room of the presence of God. Actually, it does. Prayer literally takes us, lifts us up out of the conflict. That's why in prayer, you begin to feel that quiet and peaceable atmosphere, because prayer transports us from the conflict into the very presence of Almighty God. That's the reason why we've got to make prayer first, because if I'm going to get out of this conflict, the only way I get out of it is I've got to get out of it through the ability of praying and connecting to God. You see, prayer not only acknowledges or not only accesses God, it acknowledges that God has all power, all ability, all might. That's what prayer does. Prayer is not a bunch of mindless words spoken at a particular season. Prayer is not just a bunch of mindless chatter that comes across our tongue. Prayer is the means that not only accesses God, but acknowledges God, you're greater than my conflict. You're greater than my problem. You're greater than my turmoil. God, you're greater than all of the difficulty that is around me. First of all, pray. Somebody nudge your neighbor and say, first of all, pray. You see, prayer is that transport. It was prayer that Hannah discovered that became greater than her adversary that provoked her. So sitting at the door of the temple, Hannah prays. And as she begins to pray, it acknowledges that there's a power greater than the adversary that would provoke her concerning her barrenness. Jacob discovers by a brook that prayer can move him beyond his past, where he's been a conniver and a cheater and a stealer, and elevates him to become a prince that has power with God. Prayer is what takes Jehoshaphat, that is surrounded by an enemy, and brings him into the authority of God, where God becomes greater than the enemy. If you want to discover the power of God, pray. Pray like you've never prayed before. Pray with all your heart. Pray with all your mind. Pray with all your strength. But let's not do anything until, first of all, we have prayed. Prayer is the answer. That's why Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1, when he says, I exhort therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority. Notice what he says, that first of all, prayer is to be made for all men. When he uses that phrase, all men, he's talking about humanity. He's talking about all of life. Everything that is around me in that environment. He said, this is where you live. This is where you exist. This is where you go to work at. You do it in the presence of all men. This is where you live. You live in the presence of all of humanity. I'm sorry, honey, but you can't pull yourself out of that. You're going to wake up in it in the morning. You're going to go to work in the morning with it. You're going to come back home in it in the evening. It's always going to have all men on all sides of you. But he said, I want you to know that if you'll make prayer your first priority, it doesn't matter what kind of environment that is around you on all sides and what society is dishing out, that you can overcome it if you'll just learn how to pray. I may not be able to change all men, but I can change the little spot where I am. And that little spot can have quietness and a peaceable atmosphere. First of all, pray. But then he said, not only for all men, he said, pray for kings and all that are in authority. He speaks of a political movement that was in opposition. It seemed impossible to push through and to break through. It seemed like that the Roman government would never relinquish its control. It seemed impossible from human perspectives. But Paul now tells Timothy, first of all, pray for all that surround you, and then zero in on those areas that seem absolutely impossible, that seem like they are not crossable. He said, I want you to pray like you've never prayed before over impossible situations. I don't think we need to back up or take a back seat to impossibilities. First of all, pray. I don't think we need to wring our hands and back up and say, well, it's just too tough. The environment's too strong. Things are not conducive enough to turn around. But I'm here to tell you, prayer. That's why we're going to join here Tuesday night. That's why we're going to fill these pews. That's why we're going to have prayer walk. Because we believe that there's nothing impossible with God. We believe that with God all things are possible. God can turn anything around. He can make a way through anything. He can provide any kind of answer. Come on, Timothy. First of all, pray. This isn't time to surrender my quiet and peaceable life. This isn't time to back up and say I can't get it. It's just where I live. It's time for somebody to find the prayer closet. It's time for somebody to fall on their knees. It's time for somebody to put their head in the corner and say, God, I'm going to make you a part of this picture. I'm going to make you a part of this environment, because you're greater than my mountains. You're greater than my struggles. You're greater than my difficulties. You're greater than the environment that's in me. First of all, pray. Does anybody still believe in the power of prayer? Come on, somebody clap your hands and shout just a little bit now. Oh, somebody clap your hands. Come on, we're going to make God first. First of all, pray. Come on, mama. First of all, pray. Don't surrender your quiet and peaceable life. Come on, daddy. Don't surrender it. First of all, pray. Come on, child of God. Don't surrender a quiet and a peaceable life. First of all, pray. It's the answer. It's the provision. It's the supply. First of all, pray. Notice what he says now in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. He says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks. He uses words here that each of them kind of cross over. He's using words that talk about conversing, talks about conversation with God. And yet he breaks them down into four very distinct types of prayers. He says, first of all, supplication. That's just presenting a need to God. Then he says, prayer. That's earnestly calling out before God. Then he speaks of intercession or petition. This is where it gets a little more intimate and interacting, where we have focused conversation, zeroing out everything else, but just zeroing in on God. And then he said, don't forget to add thanksgiving to it, an expression of our gratitude. In other words, what he was telling Timothy, he said, the need is so great. The demand is so precious. All men, kings, authorities, you're in the middle of the pressure cooker. It's on all sides of you. He said, first of all, he said, pray with every kind of prayer you can pray. In other words, don't just say words. Don't just let it come across your tongue. Don't just bow your knee and say, God, here I am. But he said, I want you to use every kind of prayer that you can pray. He said, pray with petitions. Pray with supplication. Pray with intercession. Pray with thanksgiving. But just don't give up on prayer. If you haven't got the picture yet, I've come here today in defense of prayer, that we can't give up on prayer. We can have a praise team, but we got to have prayer. We can have a preacher, but we got to have prayer. We can have a sanctuary, but we got to have prayer. We can have a service night, but we got to have prayer. We can put up a building, but we got to have prayer. Prayer is the answer of the 21st century. Can I have a witness right over here? Anybody in this middle section, somebody on this right hand side, come on, prayer is your answer. I'd like to tell somebody, don't give up on a bended knee. Don't give up on a bowed head. Don't back up on pouring your voice out before God, because it will bring a quiet and a peaceable life. If I can just lift my voice to God in prayer and have supplication before Him, the only way to get it. We're trying to bring it in every other way, but we've never learned to bow our heads and just pour our heart out before God, because that's where it all starts. It starts with prayer. Would you stand with me this morning? And from across this congregation, whatever pressure cooker of life that you're in right now, whatever conflict, external, internal, whatever's going on all sides, I want you to lift your head toward heaven. I want you to lift your voice toward the Lord right now. And I want you to do what we're supposed to do in the beginning. And it's first of all, pray. Somebody lift your voice to Him now. Come on, Mama. Come on, Daddy. First of all, pray. First of all, pray. First of all, pray. It will result in a quiet and a peaceable life. Pour it out. Empty it before the Lord right now. That's it. Come on. Tell Him of all men. Tell Him of kings and authorities. Tell Him of those things that appear so impossible. The mix of life that's around you right now. Go on and tell Him. First of all, pray. I'm reaching for a mama right now. Come on, it begins right here at prayer. I'm reaching for a young man, a young lady. The Holy Ghost is stirring across this congregation right now. That a peaceable and a quiet life is only possible if I'll pour my heart out, if I'll talk to Him in prayer, if I'll empty my spirit, if I'll access the throne of God, if I'll make Him greater than every difficulty, every problem, every issue in life. First of all, pray. Would you lift your voice to Him now all across this building? And would you just begin to talk to Him from between these pews? Would you just begin to pour your heart out? Empty your spirit before the Lord. That's it. I feel a calm presence of God across this building right now. I feel an assurance. We're invoking the presence of God now. We're invoking the power of God. We're invoking the authority of God. First of all, pray. First of all, pray.
You have been listening to an audio sermon from Apostolic Worship Center located in Norman, Oklahoma. We are located at 3221 North Porter Avenue, Norman, Oklahoma, 73071. Our service times are Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., and we also have various ministries happening on Wednesday night. For more information, visit our website, www.awcnorman.com. You can call us at 405-329-1285. Or email us at info@awcnorman.com. We hope that this recording has been a blessing to you.